good. We're going to turn to God's word. Sally's going to read Genesis 3 for us. If you've got a Bible, do open it up. Funnily enough, it's on page 3. Genesis 3, 1 to 7.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Sally. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to know who we are this morning, and we want to know who you are. So help us to listen to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Just like in Simon Says, actually more importantly than Simon Says, it is really important who we listen to. In school, do you listen to the person who's being silly or to your teacher? Teacher, that is the right answer. I'm glad to hear my daughter saying that. At home, this is not based on real life at all. At home, do you listen to your brother who has dared you to see how long you can hold your hand on the stove? Or do you listen to your parent who says, "Don't do that, it's a really silly thing"? You listen to your parents. Good. Do you listen to the random person on TikTok, grown-ups, who has got some excellent stock tips for you, or do you listen to a financial advisor? Probably your financial advisor. In God's world, who do we listen to? We listen to God. In our Bible reading this morning, that Sally's just given us, Adam and Eve don't do that, do they? They listen to the wrong voice. They don't listen to God's word. They listen, okay, not to the microphone. They listen to Satan's word. I don't know if that's going to stand up. I blame the prop designer. There we go. Just about. That is a speech bubble. There we go. That is staying. We have God's word. And we have Satan's voice. They don't listen to God. They listen to the wrong voice. Instead of listening to their maker, they listen to a creature that he made. They listen to Satan. Over the last couple of weeks, we upstairs have been seeing what God is like. We've seen that he is a great king. He's the one who made everything. If you've got a Bible, take a look down at the end of Genesis 2, verse 4. It says, "The Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and everything in between. Everything you can ever see, think, or imagine, the Lord God made." There is no other God. He has no rivals. He is the king. I think Charles's crown is a little better than this. He's the king whose voice they're meant to listen to. But on the other side, they don't listen to the king's voice. They listen to the voice of a snake, of a serpent. Unlike the king, the snake is just a creature that God made. He isn't a king. He's not the creator. Look down at chapter 3, verse 1. The serpent, he's more crafty than any other beast of the field. He's a cunning animal, but he's an animal that the Lord God made. And we're not really told where he comes from. Here we are told that the Lord God is made. The Bible never paints a picture where creation is the battleground of a cosmic battle between good and evil. God is the king. He is the high king who rules over all, who made everything. Satan is a creature. He is not a rival to God. We're not left hoping that good will win. We know that good will win because God reigns over all. He is the maker of all things. So here's the question. Who should we listen to? The maker or the thing that was made? The maker, the king. Okay, God's word. They should listen to God's word. His word is powerful. God says, let there be light, and there was light. What God says happens. It is effective. God's word does exactly what it says. There is no small print. There's no trickery. God is clear. He does what he says. His word is powerful. What about Satan's? All Satan does is ask a question. Did God really say? All he can do is question how powerful God's word is. Can't see the snake's face. That's terrible. There we go. Is that better? We're going to play a quick game of Spot the Difference. Can we get the slide on screen, please? Maybe not. Here we go. Next one. Next one, please. Oh, well. I'm going to read God's command to you from last week, and then I'm going to read the serpent's question, and I want you to spot the difference between them, okay? Here is God's command in chapter 2, verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree in the garden. Okay, what did God say? How many trees could they eat from? Go on, Edmund. Go on. Almost every tree in the garden. Okay, listen to what Satan says at the end of chapter 3, verse 1. His question, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Is that what God says? No. Every tree, pretty much every tree in the entire garden apart from one. Satan says, can't eat from any. Is Satan right or wrong? Wrong. Satan is wrong. In fact, he is so wrong, he is, completely wrong. It's a subtle distortion of God's word, isn't it? So he just twists what God has said ever so slightly. Did God really say? He brings in doubt. God just wants to spoil your fun. He wants to limit your freedom. He isn't really good. He just wants you to think that he's good. That's what Satan wants us to think. Who should we listen to? God, whose word is powerful and effective, or Satan, who doubts and causes questions? God. Okay, last one. God's word is good, isn't it? Got lots of likes on Facebook. God's word is good. It is. God spoke, and this whole amazing world came into being. If you love maths, God made it. If you love mountains, God made it. All the wonderful things we enjoy, the sun on your backs. One of us in our family doesn't enjoy that quite so much at the moment. They got a bit sunburnt. The stars lighting up the night sky. The beach to lie in, lakes to swim in. God made them. God speaks and his word gives life. Everyone, can you take a deep breath for me? A wonderful gift from God who gives life. The air in your lungs. He speaks life into humans. His voice gives you and me life. What about Satan's voice? Satan offers life, doesn't he? But actually, he's a bit of a liar. Does anyone know who this is? Pinocchio. When Pinocchio lies, what happens to him? His nose gets bigger. Satan has a nose the size of a massive oak tree. Unlike God's good life-giving word, Satan just lies. He says, he's sowed the seed of doubt in them, he's made them ask questions, and then in verse 4 he rounds on them and says, you will not surely die. God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God. What a thing to say about the God who speaks everything into being. To say that his word can't be trusted. Isn't that terrible? Any pretense at subtlety is over. This is a blatant, flat-out rebellion. The serpent sees his opportunity and he pounces. He sowed the seed of doubt. The woman questions herself. She questions God. And then Satan completes his work. He contradicts what God says. He says that breaking God's word won't have any consequences. He won't die. God won't judge. There is no hell. Satan is a liar. Because we know, just a few verses later, they do die. Death enters into the world. Who should we listen to? God, who gives life and speaks the truth, or Satan, who brings death and who lies? I've got my headphones this morning. I love music. I'm always listening to music. These aren't actually my headphones, I tell a lie. They're Gabby's, but they're slightly too small for me, so I'm not going to keep them on. But I'm always listening to something. When I walk the dog, when I'm doing the washing up, I was listening to music when I was writing this talk. A bit like my headphones, we are always listening to something. There's always a voice that we are listening to. Not literally, not necessarily directly into your ears, but in our hearts, in our minds, always a voice we're listening to. And we hear empty lies all the time, don't we? The problem is they can sound so good. We want to listen to them. We want them to be true. Like the kid at school who says he'll give you 20 gold Pokemon cards for that one basic Pokemon that you have. Or grown-ups, the email that comes through that says you've got a long-lost aunt in Venezuela who died last week and has left you a fortune. All you have to do is transfer 1,000 euros to their account so they know it's really you. Satan wants us to listen to his empty lie. It's subtle. He distorts what God says. It's enticing, isn't it? You won't really die. You'll be like God. Eat this fruit. If you've got a Bible, have a look down at chapter 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took its fruit and she ate, and she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And like that, creation is flipped on its head. Where God is the great king over all, humans rule under him, over the creatures of the ground, we subject ourselves to what the creature says. Satan's voice. It is shocking. Adam and Eve listen to the serpent, they take the fruit and they eat, and then their eyes are opened and they see they are naked. And they sew fig leaves together and make coverings for themselves. Our world is broken. We know that, don't we? Put your hand up if you have had a cold in the last month. A cold, a keltong, some sort of virus, a headache or a fever. Most of us, I imagine, have had some sort of sickness. Because of one act in history, and we'll come on to see, grown-ups, the effects of that action more in the next couple of weeks. It is popular at the moment to speak of people who have faith and people of no faith, isn't it? The religious and then the non-religious. The Bible doesn't let us think like that. There is either true faith, we are either listening to God's word, to our Maker's voice, or there is false faith. We listen to someone else's voice. We either submit ourselves to his word, we acknowledge who he is and what he has done, or we don't. And if Genesis 1 and 2 have taught us anything, it is that we should listen to God. He is the maker of heaven and earth. His voice is powerful, he gives life. And everything you and I have and need. But they listen to the snake. They doubt God's goodness. They question whether God is true. They didn't listen to God. They listened to the serpent. And they believe that lie, you will not surely die. And we know what happens. They go on and they die. And you know what? You and I are just like Adam and Eve. Put your hand up if you are a bit like your parent, if you have ever been told you look a bit like someone in your family. We don't always like it at times, but we carry our family's resemblance. And we are just like our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great- We question whether he is good. We question whether he is true. We doubt his ways are best and we live the way that we want to live. And that's what sin is, isn't it? Have you heard that shove of God? I'm in charge. No to your rules. S-I-N. Shove of God. I'm in charge. No to your rules. We disbelieve the truth about God and we believe a lie. We think God isn't good. Or we think that God is a spoil sport. He doesn't want me to enjoy myself. He wants to rob me of fun. Whether that is relationships or money, the things he asks me to give up, he wants to limit me, not set me free. Or we think God doesn't care about me. He doesn't care that I'm hurting. I need to go and find comfort from somewhere else. Or you think God won't do what he promises. He won't judge. He doesn't really care how I live today. He doesn't care if I'm kind to my friends. He doesn't care if I lie. No one sees if I steal. You won't surely die. We think Jesus won't come back. What are the lies that you are tempted to believe? To whom do you listen? God is good. He always does what he says, and he always speaks truth. Listen to God's words. That means when he says things about you, they are true. When he says you are forgiven, that means you are forgiven. When he promises life in his son, even though we see death, he really will give you life. We need to know that we weren't always like this. We didn't always listen to the serpent's voice. Sin isn't intrinsic to who you are. It is not fundamental to who you are. One day, it will be taken away, thrown into the sea, never to rear its head again. All those times you are deeply frustrated with yourself, gone forever. Doesn't that give us great hope? We weren't always like this. One day we will be made new. Sin is not just in our nature. One day it will be restored. Because a second Adam came. Because Jesus, when he was in the garden, when Satan came and spoke to him, he didn't listen to Satan's voice. He listened to God's word. He didn't doubt God's goodness. He didn't doubt the truth of God's word. In fact, he quoted God's word back to Satan. And where through the first Adam, death enters the world, through the second Adam, Jesus, life comes and hope. And God says to you and me today, trust me, trust Jesus. Come and find life in him to all its fullness. Come and let me make you new, to restore and forgive. Listen to my voice. I'm going to pray, and then Carrie is going to come and lead us in a time of prayer. Let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. And we're sorry that we turn our backs on you. We're sorry that we don't always listen to you. But we ask that you'd help us to hear your cry, to follow Jesus and find life in his name. Help us to turn away from going our way and to live your way. Teach us to love listening to your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.